Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor of Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guests today are Mo Whitenauer. She's Chief Product Officer at MRO, and Piyush Khanna. He's Vice President Clinical Services at CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excited for this discussion. A lot happening in healthcare right now. But before we dive into that, maybe Mo, you could start. Tell us a little bit about yourself and MRO.
Sure. As you said, I'm the Chief Product Officer at MRO. So MRO is a company we've been at this for over 20 years. We help providers exchange data with other stakeholders, including payers like CareFirst. And we're happy to talk a little bit about our products and some of the things that we've been doing with CareFirst.
Awesome. Piyush, tell us about yourself and CareFirst.
I'm the VP of Clinical Services at CareFirst. CareFirst is a not-for-profit insurance company serving about 3.5 million members in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and the Northern Virginia area. Clinical services involves a lot of interactions with the provider community. We have value-based contracts, but also a lot on the medical management side as well that I'm accountable for.
Interesting. Maybe you could start us off, Piyush. What are some of the current challenges that payers and providers are facing in healthcare today?
I think the challenges are, you know, historically been around the friction that we see with the provider and payer because as we are moving towards more risk-bearing contracts, we are finding that the line that we had between the provider and the payer is getting blurred, and more and more providers are being asked to take risk, which they're not traditionally done. And as they are taking risk, they're very interested to find out more about what is happening within the ecosystem. And that data layer, that data exchange aspect becomes very, very critical for us as we are measuring. So those are some of the opportunities that we are seeing as we are working closely with the providers, making sure they are set up for success and our members are better taken care of. And the friction, whether it's reducing administrative burden on the providers or for us to be able to understand the value of care being provided to our membership, is something that gets harnessed in much better ways.
Interesting. What would you add?
Yeah, I think in addition to what Piyush talked about with those challenges, I would also say that there's been a proliferation of needs from different stakeholders across healthcare wanting access to clinical data. It seems like clinical data is the hot commodity these days. The challenge is that different payers have different standards and different requirements about the frequency of when the data should be submitted. So all of that, I think, is really putting some pressure on the entire system to ensure that everybody is harmonized and able to exchange the data well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you talk about kind of the coming together of payer and provider, but it still feels like there are some gaps. Even when we have payviders, there's gaps associated. Why do you think there has been these gaps between payers and providers, and how is that a challenge kind of in our current environment?
Yeah, so I think part of the vision for value-based care sounds great. And there are some health plans and providers that have really been able to accomplish that. I think in part, one of the biggest problems has been that the amount of risks that payers and providers are actually sharing can be a little bit limited. So you have some programs where there's some incentives that are based on quality measures, there are some payments, but really, the skin in the gameness of value-based care has not really been shared. The other piece is that, you know, a lot of organizations are layering on value-based care on top of a fee-for-service infrastructure. And that just, the fee-for-service infrastructure has not adapted to a value-based care world. And so you still have, you know, we still have to rely on claims, we still have to connect claims to clinical data, and that's foundationally, the underlying system itself has not adapted.
Interesting. What other gaps would you add?
I think the data has been locked up for so long in these separate ecosystems, right? The provider has been sitting on some information. The payer has been sitting on information. And that synergy that could exist, right? And we look for leading indicators, right? Claims is more of a, you know, by the time a claim comes in, 35, 40 days, the service has already been rendered. The member's already out. how do we look for leading indicators? And that, I think, is unlocking that precision medicine, that personalized medicine that we want to, that the provider wants to deliver and payers want to look for that value stream. I think those are the gaps that we are looking to address with the initiatives to have this data not sit in locked up in these repositories that are federated, that are fragmented, and really bring it all together.
So talk to us more about that. Like, why is the interoperability and exchange of this clinical data so important to someone like Care First?
I think it's so critical because the future state for us, the way we look at it, is predicated on this data backbone being available, right? Whether it's an admission or a discharge that happens, whether it is a medication that potentially might have a generic or a biosimilar available, where we can provide value back to the member, those kind of formulary updates, there are so many opportunities. Just writing a value-based contract isn't good enough. How do you put KPIs and measures to lead to a better outcome, right? We talk about the value statement. It's not just financial. It's also got that member experience component to it, got that provider experience component to it, making sure that we are getting the right outcomes for the member community. All of that is interoperability has got to be the key. As members move from payer to payer, as members move from provider to provider, as they traverse the ecosystem, we have to be interoperable to create what I like to call like a frictionless experience for our member community.
And Mo, I mean, you work with a lot of payers, providing a lot of data and interoperability with them. You know, what do you see? Why do they think it's so important and so valuable to get that data?
Yeah, so in addition to what Piyush was talking about reducing the friction, I think one of the things that, as I said, clinical data seems to be the hottest commodity lately, and actually taking the data out of what I'll call like digital filing cabinets and ensuring that the richness that are included in the data is able to be shared across different users. And that really powers and gives the richness of that's required for programs like care management, for risk adjustment, for HEDIS. It is very difficult for a payer to run their business, and Piyush will be the first to tell you this, without really having access to that richness of data. The other piece here is that a lot of, I think, healthcare, you find that clinical data is sort of lagging behind claims, right? We had clearing houses for years, EDI standards for years, and the exchange of data. But for some reason, despite meaningful use, despite all these efforts, payers and providers still are not able to see the same ledger, if you will, on the clinical data, on what actually happened to the member during their care journey. And that's really critical to power those systems.
Interesting. Piyush, talk to us about, you know, your work with MRO to come together and improve the experience for everyone involved. You know, talk about the partnership you have.
So I think we started about 4 years ago starting with MRO, right? The vision was to create a single clinical data repository for our complete provider network instead of having these point-to-point integrations. And, you know, providers were telling us, right, they are tired of 50 departments within Care First. Hey, I need this for legal reason, for an auditory purpose, for compliance reason, for risk adjustment, for quality. And the list goes on, right? They were giving us feedback that, hey, can you work with us to manage and centralize that? On the payer side, right, we are interested in that data, not just from a risk adjustment quality. How can we have bi-directional conversations going with our providers, which are not predicated? Today, if I have, the provider has to download a file for gaps in care, go to a portal, log in, get that file downloaded. Can we push that information into their ecosystem, in their point of care, where decisions are being made, where we can bring that information? And also for our clinical staff, right? We have lots of clinicians who are working with putting care management programs, or we are trying to do prior authorization work. We need this clinical documentation to be able to make good decisions. Unlocking this potential is absolutely critical for us. And MRO has been a great partner for us in this journey that we've been on together.
And it seems like, I mean, kind of to Mo's point, the key was getting the clinical data, because payers have had claims data forever, and but was that the key for you too, was kind of that rich clinical data that she talked about?
Absolutely. I mean, the clinical data is a leading indicator. I keep emphasizing that, right? Understanding the GFR value of a member as they're going through CKD progression is a very important indicator. Having that information, yes, I do get the lab was sent and yeah, I got a claim 45 days later. But imagine in a CKD stages 1, 2, 3, 2, 5 to get to an ESRD, the member experience, if we can do in-home dialysis, how do we make that determination? How do our clinicians recommend an in-home dialysis versus an in-clinic dialysis? Those kind of decisions, the care planning, when we are doing advanced directive, most vulnerable point of a patient's life, if we had advanced directive information coming out, we can make better plans, whether it's palliative care, whether it's hospice. Those kind of decisions are important. I think that's clinical data is a absolute must for every payer in the ecosystem today.
Interesting. Well, what would you add about the partnership with CareFirst?
Yeah, I think in addition to some of the things that Piyush has talked about is the recency and the longitudinality of the data has been a key component of the program. So we've been able to construct a longitudinal record across the members that are part of this program, and that enables a CareFirst care manager or quality manager to be able to see the patient's life throughout whatever facilities or physicians have been able to be seen. And this is particularly important for ACA population, which CareFirst has a big share of the DMV market for the Affordable Care Act exchange members, because they tend to change, right? They vote with their feet, they choose which plans they're gonna participate in. And so and they also are changing their providers. So being able to see those gaps, it's one thing to chase a chart and you know exactly what provider the patient has been seen at, but what happens if you don't know whether they're being seen? You miss that entire picture. So that was a critical component. I also think that it's been helpful to CareFirst in being able to engage their providers more. So having that visibility and knowing, if a provider is participating in the PCMH program with CareFirst, having the visibility and sort of equal sided check and balance to say, hey, I know your performance is this because, look, I went into your EHR and I pulled the data and I know for sure that this is what you did. And oftentimes value-based care is wrought with kind of imbalances of information. There's a little bit of asymmetry of information, and I think this is helpful for health plan like CareFirst to see the full picture with their providers.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Piyush, there's a lot of data programs that we hear about in healthcare, how many data lakes were built and did nothing, right? Talk to us about what some of the impact has been from this partnership and bringing this clinical data together.
I think, we've also, as I was talking about earlier, we've decided that the integration aspect back into the CareFirst ecosystem would be standardized around certain protocol, like CCDA would be the way we would consume information, or a Firebase API. And then we want to take that CCDA and put it into a single repository. And then that gets referenced across an EDW that we have built, right?
Okay.
We also build a vocabulary of data set around that, right? To just make sure if I am taking any information out, I know exactly what the purpose was and when it was extracted from the CCDA. All that information is available. And Mo said something, right? It's very critical for us that we get a longitudinal view. Getting that 360 degree view versus getting drips of information and trying to collate them together is a big challenge that we've noticed in our ecosystem. And not every downstream system was capable to be able to do that because there was so much, like we get ADT information. There are gazillion messages in ADT. Trying to parse them through when I go to an office visit and I get my arm suture, different value on those messages, right? When I go out from an ICU to an observation bed, I want that kind of information. When I get discharged to a SNF, can I go to a home health? Those are the kind of events we're trying to parse through with the information they're getting from MRO, which is absolutely critical for us.
Interesting. What would you add, Mo, and talk to us about what's next for MRO and CareFirst?
Yeah, sure. So some of the impacts, is improvement in quality, visibility that CareFirst has been able to have within their network, the ability to intervene by having longitudinal records. So some of those are, there's many, many things. And I will mention that CareFirst had their stars increase. So now they're 3.5 star.
That's real money.
That's right.
It's real money.
That
means a lot. And hopefully, it gets passed down to the network as well in terms of more benefits. And I'll say what's next with CareFirst and MRO, one, expanding the number of provider connections that we have. So far we've been able to have 3,000 providers in the network connected, representing about 1.2 million members out of CareFirst. So we wanna expand that to more. The good thing is that the partnership, we started actually where it's hardest. So we connected smaller providers that have far fewer members that they were seeing. And now we're, you know, working with a big health system. So being able to get to 3.5 million will actually be fairly quick, I think. The second thing is, as Piyush said, the bi-directionality of data is the next big frontier that we're headed towards, so that providers don't have to wait and load a pre-visit report in order to know what gaps to close. But we want to make sure that as a provider is working and they're documenting, they're able to see those care gaps and are able to intervene. So there's much, much more. And, you know, we're working with many other payers. So we're really excited about partnering with other Blues plans. And CareFirst is here to support us and tell their story as well.
Yeah. Anything else you'd add on what's the vision going forward?
I think operational efficiency is another area that we are interested in. Right? Today, chart chasing, for example, takes us days and weeks and months, and frustration on all ends, right? And so is there an opportunity for us, like in 24 hours or less, for us to be able to get that data in a discrete format, not in some PDF document that I got to parse through again.
You got facts.
Yeah, that got facts, and then I have an OCR sitting on top. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity, right, that we could leverage this on operational elements and really going into point of care within our ecosystem, right? Clinical staff, prior auth, appeals nurses, they're all looking for this information. Can we insert this information at the point of care so we can eliminate that I need to go here, here, and here to create a care plan. I need to go here and log into the EMR and find out what information was missing on the prior auth so I can make a decision. Those are all value adds for us that I think, you know, besides what Mo talked about, that we are very excited. Again, we have only 30% of our community today. Sure. 1.2, we still have ways to go. But we're on a journey together and excited to build upon this partnership to enhance the value that we can bring to CareFirst.
I think the thing I like about this discussion is the patient / member benefits, the provider benefits, and the payer benefits. And that's hard to find these days. So I appreciate you guys taking time to share your insights and perspectives. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting application. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.